This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
I will work on that water for you, Mike.
Well, thank you. You're so kind.
How you been?
Oh, I've been busy, of course, and I'm insanely busy, but that's, I guess, good in some ways, but I'm awful tired from it. So,
anyway. Especially at our age.
Yeah, when you get to be 96, I mean, it's a drag.
It is. It really is.
Well, if you're out there listening, thank you for listening. And this is a garden show about ideas and suggestions, and it's also a garden show where you can actually call in if you have a question about your lawn, your tomato plants, your hedge, your Christmas tree, or whatever. If you have a gardening question about how much do I water, how much do I fertilize, when do I fertilize, when do I water, any of those questions that are bugging you, the number you can call is 673-4464, 673-4464. Put you right on. We'll get your question, and I won't tear your head off or anything like that. I'm a pretty friendly gardener guy, okay? So, at any rate, the spring flowers are pretty much over. And when I say spring flowers or spring blooming plants, I was thinking about the rhododendrons and the azaleas that were so beautiful this spring for such a long time. And the reason they were so beautiful, of course, for a long time was that it was so cool and wet and, you know, and they just kept on going. When the heat comes along and the sun comes along, those rhododendrons go, eh, that's enough for this year. We've had it. And they back off. On the other hand, the flip side is, you know, maybe you have a yard and you've got some rhodies, azaleas, et cetera. They bloomed out, but now you've got just maybe a bunch of evergreens or something. And you think, boy, I missed that color. Well, that's what this show is all about, to tell you all the things about color and the types of plants that will bloom for you all summer long. And they're usually real tough ones, and they're easy to grow, and you would have to really go to extremes to kill them. But I know there are people like that out there.
I know of one plant you cannot kill.
Well, yeah, that's that weed in your yard. But anyway, if you want some color for the summer, listen up. So what's available for summer blooms, huh? Well, ever hear of Agapanthus? Agapanthus is a kind of a, it looks like a daylily, but almost in that it has wide green leaves, and it's kind of a ground coverish thing. It's a little bit taller than a ground cover, but it's an evergreen. It's very, very tough, and it has the most beautiful blooms that come straight up on a stem, maybe a foot to 18 inches tall on the stem, and then it opens up to a bluish purple. And there are other colors, but that's the one I carry in the nursery because it's so easy to grow. But they're going to bloom for you in the spring. They're going to bloom for you in the summer and even into the fall. So it's a constant process. And like the flowers, like I say, they're really knockout flowers. And it's such an easy plant to do. You don't have to do anything to it. And when it snows, of course, they're going to lose their will to bloom. They're going to say, yeah.
I would too.
Yeah, I ain't doing this no more. It's snowing. What the heck? But these plants are from South Africa, Southern Africa. That's where they grow wild, like poison oak grows around here, you know. And down there, they're called the African blue lily. And they range in color from white to blue, and white with deep blue veins, and then a deep solid blue, almost purple.
Wow.
I mean, there are all kinds. We only have the blue color in our nursery. I haven't discovered where I can steal the other ones yet. And when I do, I'll do some cuttings.
You'll take a trip down there.
Yeah, I'll go to South Africa and pick up a few here next week before the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are very, very hardy, and they do well in our area. I've planted many of them in my landscaping jobs. And in winter, the leaves are, you know, in a clump, and they're very, very green, and they're just super vigorous. They don't fade. Even when we had the Snowmageddon, and I thought, oh, you know, I thought those are one of the plants that are going to bite the dust.
Yeah.
When the snow melted, there they were, green and vibrant. I mean, that's, and they're from South Africa. I don't think it snows in South Africa. They are just what you call the super flower. And like I say, they're usually deep blue. The flowers are kind of bell-shaped or trumpet-shaped, however you want to describe that.
Hmm.
And you can plant them like as a border plant or a fill-in between other evergreens. And that's the purpose of telling you about this. You have, say, a backyard or a front yard full of evergreens, a dwarf mugo pine or some juniper or something like that. And they're beautiful and they're stable and they're tough. But you've got some blank spots and you can, gee, I don't have any color in there. Well, instead of planting petunias or marigolds that will just kind of fade out toward the end of summer, this is the type of plant, and these are more plants that I'm going to speak about, that you can fill in those blank spots and have color all summer long,
nice.
Clear into the fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, in fall, even in October, it's still warm enough. We usually don't get a frost till maybe Halloween or the first week in November. That's
allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Not usually.
When you're in news, that's the first word.
Ah, allegedly. But they'll bloom into that area. But when the cold snap hits, you know, the bloom stop, but the plant doesn't. The plant just kind of says, okay, tucking it in for winter. I'm going to take a nap and wake me up in the spring, baby. But they also make a nice container plant. You know, you got a deck patio, you want to decorate it. You know, you get some nice size pots, nothing small, but something that's at least 24 inches in diameter so they can actually, you know, put roots out and grow. And it will decorate your patio. In fact, any of the plants I'm going to speak about today, they make good patio plants as well as yard plants. So, or, you know, something on the front porch at your front door. You don't want to decorate it up and that kind of thing. And the plant can get maybe about 2 feet tall. And I'm not talking about the flower now. I'm talking about the plant itself.
That's about the right size.
Yeah, yeah. And about maybe 18 inches in diameter is from the tips of the leaves on one side to the tips of the leaves on the other. And the flower stem, it goes straight up from the center of the plant, and that can be maybe 3 feet tall. And then it blooms. Mm. The bloom occurs at the top of that 2 foot stem or 3 foot stem. And they can be planted in part shade and they bloom well, but most of them I've seen in landscaped yards, and most of them I planted in landscape jobs. Well, we put some in part shade, but we put some in full sun, and it doesn't bother them. The only thing
they like both,
right? And but in full shade, it may not have enough sunlight to actually force a bloom or two. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any in full shade, so I'm. And the book recommends sun or part sun, you know, that kind of thing. So,
we don't have a lot of sun, but we have part sun.
Well, we got sun out there right now. It was 79 in the parking lot, man. Came in here.
I got to check it out. I got to keep stay inside all the time.
Yeah, you ought to.
Yeah.
Don't ever go outside.
Kyle, you hear that? I want out.
Don't, not till after the show.
Yeah.
I don't know how to run the buttons, man.
Yeah,
okay, now, I know when people think about fuchsias, they think hanging baskets, yeah. Fuchsias are tender, and a hanging basket, you get them in May, and they're good till about September, maybe October, and then they kind of lose their blooming power because it's cool and not enough sun. And so to save them over, you might put them in the garage for the winter by a window or something like that, so they don't freeze.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good. But there's a lot of varieties of fuchsias that can grow in the ground. And I brought one here. Too bad we don't have a camera.
Yeah, well, it's online.
Online? Yeah.
Kyle took a picture of it.
Yeah, Kyle took a picture of it. This is one of many that I grow. And I stumbled upon these. I read an article in one of my trade magazines about this guy that grew outdoor fuchsias that come back every year and snow or freezing, you know, they'll die down, but the roots don't die.
Mm.
And it said his nursery is a such and such a place, and you know, northeast of Salem, out there.
Oh, okay.
So one day I was up in that area, and I said, "I'm going to go find this place." Well, the directions they gave in the article were not really quite accurate, but they were, I guess, kind of close.
So.
It was northeast of Salem. Yeah, that's about it.
It's about,
but yeah. You get out there east of Salem, you're in farming country, and you get off the main highway, whatever, the main highway, and you turn on these secondary roads, which are, in fact, paved, but they're narrow, and there's not much signage, and the farms are far apart.
Right.
And I'm looking for this particular road, and I can't even think of the name of the road right now.
Fuchsia Lane.
And I said, well, see, I'll go down here. And then I wasn't down there. And so I went a little ways, and I took another left, and then I come to another intersection, and I'm not seeing anything. And then I saw this in the distance. I kind of looked, and I saw some greenhouses and an old farmhouse. So I said, that's got to be it. And so I drove up there into this guy's yard. And in fact, that was the place.
Nice.
Yeah, no numbers on any posts or doorways or anything like that. It was just
everybody,
like,
knows where he lives.
Yeah, you know where Joe Fuchsia Man lives. So I introduced myself, and he said, oh, great, you want to take a tour? And I says, yeah. And he showed me out in his yard. He probably had, 20 different types of fuchsias growing in the ground in his yard.
Wow.
And it was, it was like mid-June or something like that. And some of them were still blooming to beat the band, and some of them had already cycled out. And some of his larger ones were, 4 feet, 5 feet tall, and probably 5 feet wide. I mean, they were gorgeous, and I thought, this is amazing. He says, come in the greenhouse, you want to see amazing. And he must have had, I don't know, several thousand different types of fuchsias in
there. Good Lord.
And I think I bought either 10 or 20 of them, and, small ones, tiny ones, all different kinds. And I asked him questions, and he said, yeah, they'll die down in the winter, but they'll come back. All those out there, and that I got planted in my yard, they'll die down if it gets too cold, but they sprout right back up. And the cold doesn't hurt the roots. They're tough. And so I bought some, and it's true. And I planted one in at South Umpqua. It was South Umpqua Bank. Now it's Umpqua Bank in Canyonville. It's one of our maintenance contracts down there. And there, by their main entry on the side there was a blank spot, and I planted this one. And it was doing really well and blooming and, kind of decorating. It wasn't real big yet. It was probably maybe a foot and a half tall, 18 inches tall, 12 inches wide, full of blooms. And I said, well, we'll see the real test. So that winter, probably December or January, I happened to be there, and I was looking for the fuchsia, and it wasn't there. It was gone.
Uh-oh.
I thought, well, it died down, just like you said it would. So about, I guess it was towards the end of March, I was down there again, and I walked over to the spot. And I saw these little tiny shoots coming up from where the fuchsia had been planted. Hmm. A month later, that thing was like 2 feet tall and full of blooms. 2 months after that, it was about 3.5 feet tall and just loaded with blooms. It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. So I started doing propagating a bunch of them. And I've got, maybe 10 different types.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that one of them?
Yeah, this is one of them. And let's see, it's got a strange name, too. It's called June Bride, Upright Fuchsia.
June Bride.
Yeah, June Bride. And nice pink flower and good, healthy-looking plant. And so I've started planting some of them in our landscape jobs and explaining to the client, well, this is what's going to happen in the winter, but next spring it'll come back, and if it doesn't, I want to know. Just in case, something else might have killed it.
Yeah.
Do we have a break?
Yep. I was going to say maybe COVID got to it.
No, I don't think, no.
No, you don't think so?
My fuchsias are COVID-proof.
There you go. We'll be back. More of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And local talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, Mike, we have survived the first break. What's up next?
Well, you know, I got lists and lists of summer blooming plants.
Cool.
And one thing I did forget to mention about the fuchsia here is that it can take morning sun, but it really has to have afternoon shade. They're not a full sunner.
Gotcha.
They might live, but they're gonna not be pretty. So if you plant it in your yard, like I say, morning sun, afternoon shade, and because that hot August or whatever 99 degrees days will cook it, and you can't water it enough to keep it alive, and if you water it too much, the roots will rot, so you know you're gone. But if you have a question, 673-4464, and we'll get you right in here and you can ask your question. So there are numerous other plants for summer color, and that's what this program and maybe next week's program is going to dwell on, is what can you have in your yard that's actually blooming all through the summer, even into the fall before the snow flies, you know, one of those things. Because, you know, and you can have petunias, you can have marigolds, you can have geraniums and all that. And they're great and they're wild in color. But normally they can't go through a winter and regenerate. I've had a few do that in protected places outside. I had a geranium do that one time at one of the banks that I take care of, and I was shocked that it came back. I hadn't planned on it coming back. I just put it there so that they'd have a little bit more color at their entryway, at their main entrance. Mm-hmm. And the following year, I was doing something there, and I looked, and there it was. It was growing back, and I thought, whoa.
That's, nice.
Oh, right. It's not there anymore. I don't know if somebody. And that's been 5-6 years ago I did this. But for some reason, it's not there. It may have died in the snowmageddon or, you know, one of our extreme or cold.
Bank executive took it out.
Yeah, the bank executive said, what's this piece of garbage doing here? I'll pull it out.
Blame it on them.
Of course, of course. Bankers don't like flowers.
No.
But, you know, there's some tough, tough ground covers that bloom really well, and they'll grow in sun or shade, and they'll bloom from, like, spring till fall. You don't have to mess with them, and they need very little care because ground covers, for some reason, are really tough, tough little puppies. And one I really like and I grow a lot of and I plant a lot in landscaping jobs, it's called a blue ice plant, and it hugs the ground. I mean, we're talking ground cover. It might be 2 inches tall, maybe, but it is full, just chock full of kind of a deep bluish purple bloom.
Huh.
And the bloom, I mean, this just covers the plant. And what happens is when the sun goes down, the blooms close up. And the first time I saw that, I went, wow, what happened, man? What's wrong with that plant? But the next morning I looked at it, and when the sun came out, the bloom opened.
Good morning, sunshine.
Yeah, good morning, and was stayed open until that night it closed up. So that's kind of a unique quality. And they grow fast, and they'll grow in cruddy soil. I mean, the better soil you put in, of course, the better the plant's going to do. But the ones that I planted first as a test plot, I put out in the front of my nursery in all day sun. I mean, it's all day from early morning till the sun set at whatever 9:15 in the summer. Mm. But they really, really are pretty. They grow very quickly. And they're good for planters. They're good for little banks, like say you have a 3-foot bank along your driveway or something, and nothing seems to grow there. Well, poke a few holes in there and put some good soil and try an ice plant, and you'll be amazed at how well it does.
Yeah.
And you're not a slave to watering. You're not a slave to fertilization or anything like that. And it just spreads all over. And if you got some big boulders or rocks, it'll grow up on the boulders. It'll grow through the rock and everything else. That's how cool they are. That's how tough they are, you know. And one small plant. Yeah, you know, like I said, they only get about 2 inches tall, but I've seen small plants have about a 7-foot spread. That's they wow. just continually in all Keep directions. Yeah. They just and within a few years, I mean, it has taken over a whole area. And so when that blooms, I mean, it's just a real really cool sight, because it's just like all these purple blooms looking at you. Yeah. So it's good. It's good for if you have a planter box, of course, but you know, along the edge of your sidewalk, along the edge of your driveway, maybe in your front flower bed, you know, you've got some azaleas or whatever, but you know, you want something more permanent. Well, this is a good plant for that kind of thing. And you won't regret it. You don't have to mess with them. And a good use for them is in rock gardens or small planter beds, like I said. And again, very little care all summer. Water them once in a while, and then forget them. they do their own thing, and you don't have to mess with them. And a larger scale plant, you've got daylilies. You know, most everybody that gardens knows what a daylily is. It's similar to the first one that I described with the blooms that come up through the middle, the agapanthus. But daylilies have, you've got yellows and oranges and reds, and there's some white ones, I think, but they're not real showy. But the yellows and the oranges and the reds are, and some of them are two-toned with a kind of a yellow throat with an outer fringe of orange. I mean, very attractive. Again, a tough plant. Full sun, they'll spread, and they have that same growth habit as the agapanthus. They have the long, narrow leaves. They look tropical, but and they're probably from some tropical place, but they do very, very well here in Oregon.
And I was going to say China, but that ain't tropical.
Probably not. But again, these are great for gardens, small rock gardens, or water if you have a water feature.
Yeah.
And you've got some soil in there and you want to kind of decorate your water feature. It might be a pond or just a waterfall. You can put a few of these around, and that's like the icing on the cake. It really looks good. You know, you pull your chair out there at night and sit and listen to the waterfall and look at your beautiful plants. How good does it get?
Mama.
I mean, this is what a little landscaping can do for you.
For you.
And again, these guys, very little care. Some water once in a while, maybe once a week, twice a week in the summer if it really gets hot. And they just kind of go and do their thing. And these guys will bloom 6 to 7 months out of the year.
Nice.
The first blooms appear, say, mid-April, somewhere in there.
Maybe, oh, early.
Yeah, it depends on the temperatures. But the warmer it gets, the more they bloom. And then they're just always consistently and constantly sending up more blooms throughout the summer. And then if you got a cold, you know, I've had them blooming in October, but then you get one of those weird east storms or something, and the temperature drops to 29 for 2 days, and that kind of
slows them down.
Yeah, that knocks the blooms right off the bowl, but the plant isn't hurt. The plant doesn't suffer one iota, and they come in shades of, like I say, yellow, orange, red, purple, and then there's a bunch of varied colors in between all that. I think when you get these odd colored ones, if you've got some growing, different kinds growing, and they cross-pollinate, and the bees are in there cross-pollinating, and consequently you get a different plant, a different colored flower.
Oh.
You know, because I don't know how the bees do it or how they know what they're doing, but they do it.
The bees know what they're doing.
Yeah, and there are other, you know, hummingbirds love them too.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Anything with they can stick their long beak in there and get the pollen out. They like that. That's their favorite thing. And
bumblebees like it too, because can swim right in.
they can. And these guys grow, and they'll spread 2 or 3 feet and maybe get about 2 feet tall. And then the blooms come up another foot to 18 inches through the center of the plant. And like I said, the flowers are kind of bell-shaped. Mm-hmm. Like a large bell. They're not a small flower. They're a pretty good sized flower. Mm. But all of them are just excellent, excellent bloomers. And there are like hundreds of shrubs that will bloom at least 6 months a year. So if you've got bare spots, or if you've got just evergreens, or you want to just have some color in your yard instead of just the different shades of greens, probably number one on that list could be roses. Roses hot color.
That's can't all kill those. Those.
No, you cannot. I've tried. I've had to work years on my old number one house to get rid of the roses. But, you know, there's so many roses. There's too many to count. And there's rose books that we'll talk about with a lot of good photos in there. Whether you can find them locally or not, I don't know. Some maybe one of the box stores has, 10 varieties, and the other box store has another 10 varieties, and they might be different. You have to kind of shop around. We try to get the ones we get are the real hardy, truly proven, Jackson and Perkins types roses, the really good.
Yeah. And the top of the line.
Top of the line, and then you got some good stuff.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. And they're going to bloom, 7-8 months out of the year.
Not bad.
But as I've told my story about my rose hedge, I pruned them to the ground in August because I hated the rose hedge, and they were up and running by Thanksgiving with new blooms on them and bloomed all the way through Christmas. And I thought, how do you kill these stinking things? You got to get a backhoe in there and dig them up.
I thought you were going to say burn them.
Burn them, yeah. You could burn them, but I didn't want to start a fire in the neighborhood. But roses love sun and heat and well-drained soil, and they're easy to keep shaped up with annual pruning. And you prune the tops, you thin out some of the dead branches, you open it up so there's air circulation, and when spring rolls around, they shoot new little mini branches, and pretty soon there's buds on them, and pretty soon the whole thing is just covered with flowers, just gorgeous. And there's a lot of rose gardens in our area. You can drive around Roseburg, and I don't know, maybe they made it Roseburg because there's a lot of roses here. I'm not sure, but I know Aaron Rose.
Aaron Rose, baby.
I know, I'm sure Aaron Rose.
Is he still alive?
I saw him at the nursery the other day checking out my roses.
Yeah.
He says, but there's thousands and thousands of varieties and, all makes and models and colors. So you look around, shop around, and you'll find them. We got another break?
We have a break.
Okay, I'm not done. I'll tell you that.
More roses coming up.
More roses, more color.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And once again, we've solved the world's problems.
Yeah, at least in the plant world,
That's right.
But if you have a question, 673-4464, and we'll talk about what you want to know. And I've been talking about roses here, and they're a very distinctive plant, multiple blooms, hot colors, and they come in all sizes. They come in dwarf or mini. They come in the standard. They come in climbing and tree roses. I mean, just to name four ways right there. There might be something else that I'm missing. I don't know. But give them space for air circulation. Very, very important. And, there's a lot of rose gardens in our area to view. If you're not familiar with roses, if you don't know, I don't know how that is or how that grows or anything like that, you can see, if you want to drive to Portland, I don't, but I went there once.
You got a lot of buddies up there.
Oh, yeah, right, I do.
And Salem.
Yeah, right. My best buddies, The Portland Rose Garden has thousands of roses. I mean, all makes, models, and colors. And I did go there because I wanted to go to the zoo. Portland Zoo one time when I had some kids living up in one of those side cities.
Yeah.
Gresham, I think. I'm not sure. But I said, hey, let's go up there to the zoo. I'd like to see the zoo. And, you drive through and you look at the zoo, and then it keeps driving up this hill, and it's kind of a woodsy thing. And all of a sudden, there's the Portland Rose Garden off to the side, and And then the Portland Japanese Gardens are kind of across the street, and it's very, very pretty. And you got it's a beautiful view if you like to look at downtowns. It's beautiful, and you can see Mount Hood and a few other things. You know, and they had rows and rows and rows of roses. It's it is beautiful.
Is it still there?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, lots of protesters might have.
Well, they might have burned it down by now. I don't know. Didn't like them colored roses, you know. But they got, you know, just hundreds of different varieties in there, and they're all name tagged. And so if you see something you like, you write the name down and go locate it in a nursery somewhere. Now, a little closer to home is Shore Acres. That's over here on our coast. You go to Charleston and keep out going past Charleston, and on this two-lane road, all of a sudden, bingo, there's Shore Acres. It's a state park. And you go in there, and it's very well landscaped. The whole thing is very well landscaped. It's actually beautiful. It's really pristine. But they have a rose garden, and I was surprised the first time I saw it because the ocean is right there. Mm-hmm. And so it's foggy and cold, even sometimes in the summer.
Yep.
They don't get too many 90-degree days over there.
No.
And but it's a very, very attractive rose garden. And they have kind of an English, big old English garden with pathways and raised planters, et cetera. And you walk past all that, viewing all that, and then there's a little sign, Rose Garden, which is kind of secluded all by itself, and it was gorgeous, beautiful mm-hmm. roses, and they were nothing fancy. It was just kind of rows of roses, and there might have been five rows with 30 roses in each row.
Again, you can't kill them.
No, you can't. They grow on the coast, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
You know, that's are they tough? Yes. They grow in the desert, for crying out loud.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. My father-in-law lived in high desert in northeastern California, right below Susanville in that country.
Yeah.
Hot and dry and 3 feet of snow in the winter, you know, that kind of place.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful rose garden. Every year, there's gorgeous roses all over his yard. And you know, that's how tough they are. You got to really work at killing roses. I know that for a fact.
You really... Well, if my dad couldn't have killed it, well, it's tough.
Yeah, that's it. So, like I say, Shore Acres is a beautiful place to visit. It's a nice day trip.
Yeah,
and then also here at our local VA hospital, we have Rose Garden. It's on the Garden Valley side of the VA. They have other scattered roses throughout the facility and the grounds, and it's very well kept up. But on one corner, as you're entering from Garden Valley Boulevard, now that's their, quote, rose garden. And they've got probably, I guess, 100 roses in there. And you can walk around and look at them. And it's very well taken care of and very, very pretty. And
I'll have to be more observant.
Yeah, why don't you go in there and check it out, man?
Yeah, I've been there quite a few times. I never noticed.
You never noticed a rose garden,
no.
Huh? You must have been asleep.
I must have, yeah.
But when you visit, you can see the varieties, the sizes, the colors. And that's the best way to shop. Look and see how, you know, you think, well, I like some roses, but I don't know much about them. Well, you visit some place or you're driving through your neighborhood and one of your neighbors down the street has, you know, a dozen roses out front. Hey, stop, talk to them. Ask them, hey, how hard is this? What kind of rose is that? How often do I water? Do I have to fertilize? You know, just ask some basic questions. Anybody that's gardening in their yard or landscaping in their yard is usually a very friendly person and will give you so much information that you can't remember it all. You know,
wow, TMI.
Okay. Stop. I just want to know what color they were.
Yeah. And where you got them, maybe.
And where you got them. And rest assured, any rose will grow in Douglas County. I mean, that's all there is to it. This county is amazing. And all roses are beautiful. But my favorite ones are the mini roses, the smaller ones.
Oh, okay.
They have a small leaf. They're not a big leaf. And the flowers are smaller. And the plants only grow to about maybe 3 or 4 feet and tall and about that wide. But they're very, very full. I mean, when I say full, they are full of flowers.
Wow.
I mean, they're just solid flowers, and they'll bloom from early spring till about December.
Nice. I bet it smells good.
They don't have much aroma or fragrance to them. A little, but not like your hybrid tea roses, your big, you know, your big floral roses and stuff like that. But for a colorful plant in your yard, you spot a few of these things around, and you've got color from like April to December. I mean, that's how good they go. And
that's quite the span.
Yeah, and you don't have to, you know, as long as you water them once in a while in the summer, not every day, but maybe once a week, you give them a soak, that's good. Fertilize them once a year in the early spring or late fall, and they just do tremendous things. And each year we prune ours because we're taking cuttings, you know.
Yeah.
And so my daughter Jill does all of that, and she'll grow several hundred of these in the greenhouse over the winter.
Wow.
And then, you know, so we have baby ones in little pots that you can take home. But and you'd think, well, it's a miniature and it's not going to grow very fast. You'd be amazed at how fast these little boogers grow. You know, going, gee, I'm going to prune some of that, you know. But they're really pretty in that they're, just, like I say, solid flowers. You know, you get a hybrid tea, it's got a long stem, and it's a maybe two, maybe three roses on that one stem, and then there's some space and another long stem, and there's a couple of roses or one rose on that. This thing, you can't even hardly see the leaves for on the mini roses because there's just covered.
So many.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very, 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 very good.
Neighbors probably wouldn't even complain about it.
Pardon?
The neighbors probably wouldn't even complain about that.
I don't know why they would. They'd probably want to buy some from you. But but they flower earlier and they flower longer. And and I would say the number of flowers is at least five times more than on a regular rose.
Wow.
At least five times, maybe 10 times more. So they're a good one to stick in your yard. They're a good one to color up your yard. And like I say, they're a no-brainer plant. Leave them alone. They'll do fine. Water them when it's hot. Fertilize them once in a while. And they're good to go.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. And see, I've got that front planter all along one part of my nursery. It's right next to the highway.
Right.
So it's probably 8 feet from the semis that go by and blow dust and heat and everything else on them. Doesn't faze them. Doesn't faze them at all. They just say,
hey. They like that oil.
Yeah, they love oil and gas fumes, and they'll go for it. So obviously they love the heat.
Yeah.
And the sun, because they're in full sun. And the pruning is minimal. I mean, because once in a while you'll get a stray branch that might grow six inches higher than the rest. Just snip it off or let it go, you know, however you feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want it, you know, square it up. You want it round, ours are round because they just look like a giant round rosebush. What else can I say?
Well, yeah, you a bowling ball.
Yeah, you can't do that with a hybrid tea rose because they grow upwards and they're more open.
These
are, like I say, they're tough and they're tight.
Mm-hmm.
They're very tight rose. Yes, but you keep them the size that you like. If you want them 2 feet tall, keep them 2 feet tall. If you want them 3.5 feet tall, let them get 3.5 feet tall and just prune them once a year.
Yeah.
And you can take like a you know, hedgers, the automatic hedgers, you know, start it up and go bzzz, and you're good to go. That's
nice.
It. Take you all of, you know, 2 minutes.
Easy peasy.
Maybe 3 minutes if you're slow and don't know what to do. But, you know, you can, they make beautiful potted plants too. Deck, patio, front door. Because, you know, you get a good enough size pot, at least, say, 18 inches in diameter. It's there for lifetime. Never have to do anything to it.
Nice.
Maybe last a good 10 or 15 years in that pot.
Mm.
Long as you're, and of course in the pot, you have to pay more attention to the fertilization and the watering and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a great decoration. You know, you come up to the front door and entryway, and well, there's a couple of pots of these beautiful roses blooming. Yeah, it's very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're
a conversation starter.
Exactly. And somebody looking to buy a house comes up to you and go, wow, look at that. And right away, they got a great attitude.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they take care of this
they're
place.
They're a buyer now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a break?
We do.
Okay.
One more.
I'll be back. Trust me.
Yep. We will. He will.
If they don't, chase me out of here.
Nah. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We're at 76 degrees and sunny, it says, outside.
Yeah, I bet it's sunny out there.
Yeah?
Yeah, but there's clouds out there, too.
Figures. It was raining. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday? Or?
Yeah, it rained at my house again last night.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, no, almost in the middle of July.
Yeah, it's raining. Yeah, you know, that drought's really getting to us.
Oh, yeah. Governor, declare us emergency.
Emergency drought, yes.
Extreme.
Extreme. Exactly. Those are the words that she used.
That's what, yep.
Okay, I'm talking about summer color in your landscaping to spruce it up and brighten it up. And I've talked about roses and ground covers and a few other things. One perennial long-term plant is a wallflower. I know that sounds kind of strange, but
a wallflower
is an actual flower. And they're very nice and very neat and very easy to grow. And they bloom all summer, spring and summer into fall, with little kind of purplish lavender blue blooms.
Nice.
Solid.
Okay.
All over. And they make a nice shrub. And it's so easy. You don't have to do anything to them. You just admire them. And you know, winter comes along, and they are evergreen. And winter comes along and the flowers die off, and maybe some of the leaves might get tinged from snow or something, but it doesn't die to the ground. Mm. It's always there. And it's just good. And I'd say the blooms probably are on there for 8 to 9 months during the year.
Nice.
Yeah, so imagine some of these, you know, spotted around with some outdoor fuchsias and some of those ground covers. I mean, you'd have a Disneyland effect. Mm. Maybe you don't like that, but it
what, Disneyland?
No, color.
Oh, wow. Color.
Life in the backyard or front yard. You go, wow, man, my yard is so cool. I love it. Thank you, Mike Winters.
Yes, sir.
For telling me about these things.
The Disneyland effect.
The Disneyland effect. Don't put a roller coaster back there, though.
No.
Yeah. But the wallflowers, like I say, the bright blue flower, and it covers, when they're in bloom, it covers almost the entire plant. You can hardly see the leaves. It's like one of those no-muss, no-fuss plants that, you know, if you give them regular food and water, they will move, have more flowers until it snows, and you can prune them to any size, but they only grow back. So if you want to keep them small, you just prune them. After they've done blooming, you know, about November, go ahead and prune them back.
Yeah.
You know, leave a few stems on there. Don't prune them to the ground because that might be not too good for them, but there might be a bit of a shock. But if you, let's say, they only get about maybe 2.5-3 feet tall and about 4 feet wide. So if you prune 50% of it, it would just shoot more stems, and then you'd have more flowers the next spring.
Oh,
and
that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and they're just a fast grower and do take over very well. And then if you want a large summer bloomer, try some hydrangeas. If you drive around Roseburg and you see these great big old puffball, red and pink and blue and purplish flowers and the plant has large leaves as well, blooming all over Roseburg, those are hydrangeas. I was at a client's house this morning, and she built a little planter in her backyard, in her side yard, a few years back. And we do little things for her, you know, she's a widow lady, and might come over and prune this or do this. And so we go over there, and she built this little planter, and she says, I want some hydrangeas. I says, okay, we got to get some good planting soil in there. And they were in there the first year. They were gallon-sized plants, so, you know, they were about a foot tall maybe and 6-8 inches wide.
Yeah.
And she says, boy, they're pretty small. I says, don't worry, Evelyn, they'll be fine. And the second year, she was a little more pleased with them. Well, I think they've been in, 6-7 years now, and I was over there this morning because she's got this giant hedge we prune every year in her backyard.
Yeah.
And I said, those hydrangeas sure look anemic. Well, they're about 4 feet tall and 5 feet wide, and they got a billion blooms on them.
and she's got
pinks, reds, and blues all mixed through there. And I said, gosh, they barely made it, huh, Evelyn? She goes, oh, yeah, they're beautiful. I love them. And they are full. They have filled that entire, I think it was about a 25-foot planter, long and about, yeah, you know, 3 feet wide and 2 feet deep. Mm-hmm. And they're just gorgeous. They're beautiful.
And, just what you wanted.
Yeah. And and we have several hydrangeas parked at planted in our planters at the nursery. As you enter one of the our main, it looks like a side door, but it's actually a main entry because it's adjacent to the parking lot. And we had, we have two or three hydrangeas in there. And this one is probably, right now, is probably a good 4 feet tall. And I would say from one end to the next is probably a good 6 feet around. And it's got so many blooms on it, and they're kind of a light blue, real pretty
nice.
Light blue.
Yeah.
And it is filled. You can hardly see the blooms on them. I mean, it's there must be 200 blooms on it right now, maybe more.
Wow.
And so that's what you see when you walk in. You go, people go, wow, what's that? You know, those don't know plants. And well, it's a hydrangea. How do you get it that big? And, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And every year, and I tell this to people that are buying them, I says, if you want your hydrangea to look like that, the first couple of years, let it go. Don't prune it. Don't take the old flowers off, but don't cut it way back or anything. But after it's been in the ground for 2 or 3 years, you can start pruning it back to about, say, a foot tall. And because this one that's 4 feet tall, we my daughter Jill prunes it to about, 12 to 14 inches back every year. Everything just crack, boom, it's gone. And every year it grows bigger. Bigger than the year before.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, you can't stop them. And, they, and when you do that, not only they this overall size of the plant gets larger, it seems that the bloom numbers have increased twofold from 1 year to the next. And
nice.
And they bloom, gosh, it's been blooming it's been blooming about a month now, maybe 6 weeks, and it'll bloom clear into about November. Yeah, it'll
cool.
still have blooms on it in November. And, you know, they're just a gorgeous plant. Are we done?
We are done.
I got more stuff next week, so don't go away.
what do we got for next week?
More flowers and more summer color. I want people to know that they can have color in their yard, for goodness sake.
During the summertime.
Amen.
All right, we'll catch you next week.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Stay tuned now for the Afternoon Report on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.